I'd like to ask you, if you would, to turn with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, for our scripture reading this morning. And as we enter into the public reading of scripture and then spend some time in prayer, I did first want to thank our elder brother Dave Burrell. There he is. I didn't see him earlier, but there he is, for standing in for me a couple of Sundays ago. And really not in for me, for the Lord is really the way we should look at it, I think, in the ministry of the Word. And also Pastor George Manalong, back there, who preached last Sunday. We take the ministry of the Word very, very seriously, and I appreciate their contribution to the ministry of God's Word offered in this place. I've listened to both of their messages, and I know that you'll have benefited from them, as well as look forward to hearing from each of them again. So thanks to Dave and George. I'd also like to thank the worship team, Krista and Rochelle and Havila and Desiree and Giselle, who aren't here this morning, for continuing to serve our congregation and standing in for Shelley and leading in worship, as well as our AV team that hardly ever gets any mention or any notice, unless something doesn't go as it should, and it's almost never their fault. But anyway, they get the blame because we all look up at them like, what's going on? But I appreciate them, especially serving behind the scenes, as well as Daryl and the greeting team and the offering folks who serve us so well. You'll see from your bulletin that our message title for later on in our service this morning is Why We Believe the Bible, All of It. This is the series we're in these days, and this morning I'd like to start a two-part message in this series entitled, It's Breathed Out by God. The Bible says about itself that every single word in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is breathed out by God, and we'll talk about what that might mean a little bit later on in the service. But for our scripture reading, I want to support that premise that all scripture is breathed out by God, that we'll see explicitly revealed in our sermon text, but I want to support that premise from the rest of scripture, at least a sampling from the rest of scripture, literally from Genesis to Revelation. Beginning with the book of beginnings, Genesis 1, which you'll find in our pew Bibles, perhaps not ironically, on page 1. And as you're turning there to Genesis 1, on page 1, I want to encourage you to pay particular and close attention during this reading to what happens when God speaks. When God speaks, both physical and spiritual realities come into existence. In fact, in Genesis 1, we will see that God spoke and everything that is came into existence. This is the power of God's word to create, to bring life, and to sustain all that he has created by the power of his word. And in the several readings after Genesis 1, I also want you to notice that God's creative and sustaining work continues by the power of his life-giving and living word. In other words, whenever God speaks, life happens. Spiritual life, real life, eternal life. And finally, I want you to notice that in the New Testament, Jesus is revealed as the supreme expression of God's word. He is God's word incarnate. That is, Jesus himself is the embodiment, the enfleshment of God's word. God's word manifested in physical form. So God's word, whether spoken as in the beginning, or embodied as in the person of Jesus, or written as in the Holy Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, God's word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Now, there are many, many passages that we could refer from God's Word, written on the truth and power of God's Word, and many of them we've looked at previously, and others we'll look at in the weeks to come. So these are just a minuscule sample, but they are important and profound. Hear the word of the Lord this morning, literally from Genesis to Revelation, on the creative, life-giving, sustaining power of God's word, beginning with Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Verse 6. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from the water." And so God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. And we see this formula throughout the creation, that God spoke and it was so. God spoke and it happened as he intended for it to happen. Verse 8, God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. Verse 9, and God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the third day. Verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. Verse 20. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 22, God speaking once again, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. Verse 24. God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them," it's interesting here, notice the move from the singular to the plural, Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Speaking once again, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Turn quickly with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, you'll see that it's on page 708 of our Pew Bibles. Isaiah 45. If you've never been in Isaiah 45, it is an astounding chapter in the prophecy of Isaiah on the sovereignty of God. We'll not read the whole thing. That was the longest reading by far that we will have. But I just want us to get a flavor this morning of who it is that is speaking and what is the purpose of his speaking. Starting with verse 5, Isaiah chapter 45. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. We'll talk more about this next week on the exclusivity of God to be God. But if we just took those verses and applied them and spoke them, we would immediately put ourselves in a place separate from most of the world. And my question for us today as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would be, are we willing to speak and live that message? Just that message alone. Verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and give disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker. That's what a fabulous statement. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought to birth? Turn with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 1. I know that I had an additional reading in Isaiah. You can just note that. Hebrews chapter 1, page 1061 in your Pew Bibles. There are many other passages we could look at to see the eternality of Jesus as God's Son. In fact, the Word of God in personhood. Hebrews chapter 1 gives us a bit more insight than some of the other passages that we have looked at. I should say insight in addition to what we have looked at. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Verse 3, the first part, first sentence. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, or that could be translated by the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And then finally, Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. And we'll finish here. The prophecy of John the Apostle, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, John narrating here. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May God bless us by the reading of his word. Let's pray together. God, our Father, in your word, you have revealed yourself. Your will, your ways, and your purposes. And as your people, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, reborn by the Spirit of God, I pray that you would help us to take you at your word. There are so many messages in our world today coming at us from literally every direction. And most especially in our homes through television or the internet, iPods or radios that are contrary to your word, and would lead us astray if we let them. It seems to be getting more difficult to take you at your word these days and to live as your people rather than as people of the world. I pray that you would give us the discernment, the wisdom, and the courage to be more concerned about standing before you than standing in the midst of humanity. Help us to take it as our singular objective to glorify the one true and living God by exalting his Son as our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.